Okay. I know this is early. I usually go to the late service, so I know this is the early service, so hopefully we're getting warmed up again. We're going to try this again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, awesome. So this is really important that you're awake and we're going to have feedback because we're going to have a little bit of interaction this morning. So this may be the last time Pastor Steve ever asked me to preach if it doesn't go over well. So we're going to work together. We're going to have a great time. We're going to look at several places in God's Word. And hopefully you guys leave this morning being encouraged in your walk with Jesus, feeling equipped and ready to do everything He has made you and filled you to do by His Spirit, and that together we're going to make His name known through our community and through the world. How's that sound? Good? Good. Okay. If I haven't met you before, or if you're a guest or a visitor, my name is Shane Witzke. I am a transplant from Oklahoma. My wife, Heather, and I moved here just shy of 4 years ago. And we work with a college ministry here at Black Hills State called Campus Ventures, where we get the joy and the privilege of meeting and investing in and discipling young men and women so that they can walk with Jesus for the rest of their life, they can lead their families in doing the same, that they can be gospel influencers in their works and in their communities and wherever God takes them. And it is a tremendous privilege and a joy. The same way it is a privilege to be here this morning and get to serve you in this way while Pastor Steve is gone. So my goal this morning is really simple. I just want to share a little bit of my story with you, and then I want to share with you a tool that I hope that you can use in your walk with Christ and that maybe you will have the chance to use in helping somebody else in their growth and maturity in Christ. Do this for me. I would like for you to close your eyes, and I want you to think. For some of you, it's pretty close. For others of us, you have to get way back in your memory bank. But I want you to think and remember, what was it like and where were you at when Jesus became more than just a secondhand name? More than just somebody you heard about from the preacher or the pastor, more than somebody you just read about that was, 2,000 years ago removed in history, more than maybe your parents' faith or your friend's faith, where were you and what was it like when Jesus went from being true to being real? And I want you to think about it really hard, and I want it to be as crystal clear as you can get it. Okay, hopefully you've got it. Grab onto it. Okay, now open your eyes. For me, that was at the end of high school. I have a tremendous privilege. I have a wonderful family that knows the Lord, that walks with the Lord, that they took us to church all the time. Until I was a young adult, it was always secondhand. I heard about Jesus, but it was always somebody else's Jesus. It is always somebody else's faith, and it had positive influence in my life, but it wasn't real until I reached the point in high school where I had started making decisions, where I was hiding things from my parents. I was in unhealthy relationships and treating people other than the way God intended us to treat one another. And it was at that point that somehow God spoke into my life and said, This is not what I have for you, and you're not who you say you are. You're leading a double life, and I've got something else for you. And it was in that moment God completely changed me from the inside out. It didn't look completely changed on the outside. I had to learn how to walk in that. But in that moment, God's word became true. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old is gone. Behold, everything is new." That was true for me in that moment. And for the last, 14 years, I've been learning and walking in faith and following Jesus to understand what that looks like. So that was the end of my high school time. Last year and a half, I knew that one verse. That was the only verse I ever learned while I was in high school. My granny told me that verse. And I hung on to it because there were a lot of days where I didn't feel new. I felt like the same old Shane that was making the same old mistakes over and over again. as if I took one step forward and two steps back for the last year and a half I was in high school. So when I finished, I was going to go off to college, and I told my best friend, Kevin, I said, Kevin, I am so frustrated with Jesus. And when I go to college, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to figure out what I need to do differently and walk with the Lord, or I'm going to give up because I'm tired of feeling this way, of feeling frustrated, and I just don't like it. And so that was kind of my prayer to the Lord. I need something to help to move forward with you, or I'm just going to give up. So I was really fortunate. I went to a university where there were many college ministries available, and I met some people where there was something different. So I moved in, and the first night, I got invited to this free pizza party, and as a college freshman guy who can never get enough calories, free pizza sounded great. So I went, and I met some upperclassmen guys. It was just different. We didn't, you know, there's the obvious exchange. Where are you from? What's your major? You know, why'd you pick this school? There was that kind of exchange, but very quickly moved to, so what's your story? You know, how did Jesus change your life? Why do you think he brought you here? What do you think he wants to do in you? And I hadn't had that level of intentionality in my life. I'd had a lot of encouragement and a lot of support, but I didn't have somebody like pinpoint their conversations to me like that before. And I didn't really understand it, but it was enough to make me stick around. So freshman year, I still made a lot of bonehead decisions. I'm still trying to figure out, what do I do, Lord? How do we move forward? And I remember going on a trip over Christmas break. Our school was playing in some rinky-dink bowl. I think it was like the Insight.com bowl and Insight.com. I don't even know if that's a business anymore. Anyway, but we road trip from Oklahoma to Phoenix, Arizona, 13 hours one way. And so I definitely didn't drive. I'm a perpetual napper. I can sleep anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter. So I slept all the way out there. We got there, pulled in the hotel, went right to bed, got up the next morning. I go down for the continental breakfast. Well, that's the first thing on my mind is I can't wait to get my free eggs and bacon and biscuits. But then I look over in the corner, and it's me and a couple upperclassmen guys that I've kind of met through this ministry. I don't know them real well yet. And in the corner of the downstairs continental breakfast is Ross Ward, senior civil engineer from Texas. And I look over in the corner, and it's full because there's lots of other fans that are there for the game. And Ross is in the corner reading his Bible. And I remember thinking, why would he do that? We're on vacation. Why would you read your Bible on vacation? And I've never forgot it. And Ross wasn't the guy that heavily invested in my life, but he was somebody God used to get my attention. That being in God's Word, praying and listening for his voice, knowing who he is, following his commands, is not just something you, it's not a job. It's a relationship, and it's a privilege, and it's a calling. And I remember seeing Ross, and that was the beginning of God kind of reworking some things in my heart and in my mind to, this is not just what you do, this is who I've made you to walk with me and to be with me. So fast forward a couple months later, there's a change of leadership in our ministry. My previous college director became my local church pastor, and we got a new director. His name is Mike. Mike was 59 years old when he started doing college ministry. Not typically what you would think of when you think of somebody going into college ministry. Kind of in our field, it's a lot of young people in their 20s and 30s. And here's Mike. He's an old reformed hippie. He would call himself a Jesus freak. He came out of the Jesus people movement. He'd been a pastor for 30 years. And he was at a point where he was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to invest my time and my life to make the biggest impact for your kingdom? And he took him from Colorado in a church to Oklahoma and put him on a college campus to mentor and disciple young men and to help our staff mentor and disciple young women. And there's probably dozens and dozens of names and faces throughout my life that I could point to that God used to help me and to encourage me. But when I think of the person that invested the most time and has praised for me, I say past tense and present tense, praise for me, I think of Mike Story. For 2.5 years as my director, and then for 3 years as my boss when I started working on staff, we would meet together every week. We'd pray together. We'd read scripture together. He would ask me questions about how I was doing, the decisions I was making. Who was I helping now that God had brought me a couple steps forward? I've been in his home. I've shared meals with him. When his dad was in the nursing home, he took me with him. I've met his family. I've seen his kids and his grandkids. And Mike opened his life to me, not only to teach me what the Bible says, but to show me what it looks like in practice. And I am forever grateful of God's blessing through Mike's story in my life. And so this morning, I want to share with you something that he shared with me that has just been a really helpful tool and that I've had the privilege and opportunity to be able to share with other guys. Hopefully, it gives them a picture of the pieces and the gifts that God has given us to walk with him. How many of you would say you're a visual learner, like you like seeing things or pictures, or you like getting the whole picture, not just pieces and details? Awesome. This is for you. For our more detail-oriented, stick with me. It's just as helpful, but it's really good for me to see pictures. So this is called the wheel illustration. It was developed by some guys coming out of World War II. They were in the Navy. So when they thought of a wheel, they thought of the ship's wheel, the thing that really directed and guided the whole boat. It's kind of changed over time. I've never been on a boat. I couldn't tell you ship from stern or whatever the stuff is. But the illustration still works, even if you don't know the parts of a boat. So I just want us to walk through this in a couple minutes. I'm going to give you a chance to practice with your neighbor. Remember I said about participation? We're really going to do that. So we're going to walk through this. We're going to practice it. And then I hope that it's something that God will use in your life just as a small tool as you walk in faith with him. So this is the wheel illustration. This circle, this wheel, this represents a single person. If you were to go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, it talks about the first man and first woman and how God made each of them in his presence, in relationship with them, and they had everything they need. This circle is absolutely full. It is brimming with life, purpose, trust, direction. Everything that they could ever need is there because they are with God with a perfect, untarnished relationship. And if you've ever read the Bible, you get like 2 pages in and then everything goes south really fast, right? Because even though they are full, God gives them this choice in the tree of life. It says, you can trust me and have all these things, but there's one thing that you shouldn't take from, and it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, you will surely die. And you get a couple pages in, and then they make that choice. They decide, I think I'd rather know for myself. And they take from it, and they lose all of that goodness and life and meaning that God has made each of us for. And we've all suffered the repercussions of it. Their decision to this day influences humanity. So we get to page 3 and go to the second one. We're still people. We're still made in the image and the likeness of God, but now we're compromised. We arrive on planet Earth empty and in need of something to fill us from the inside out. We can't look deep enough into ourselves. We can't reflect long enough to create something in our own power. We need God and his goodness to come and rescue us and save us and to fill us with his life. So if you were to keep going in the Bible and you get through all of the Old Testament, there's a lot of different ways people try to do that. And even with God's intervention, he says, hey, here's some more guidelines and rules and teaching. If you do this, you'll know me, you'll walk with me. And time again, people fall short. Or they think, no, I think we're going to do it differently. There's a better way. And yet God continues to promise, someday, I'm going to send somebody that has a renewed heart, that hears my voice and walks in faith and trust with me. And they'll show you what it looks like to live in right relationship with me. For us, we get to the New Testament, and in comes the person of Jesus. And as believers in Christ, when we place our faith in him, we're not empty anymore. God supernaturally changes us from the inside out. That verse that my granny taught me, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's true for every person that hears the name and the life and the accomplishments of Jesus and places their faith in him, you're changed from the inside out. You don't have to scramble and scurry looking for fulfillment anymore. He comes into our life in the very core of who we are and changes us. So what I'm about to show you are this is the hub. Sorry, let me back up. Let me pause for a second. This is the center of the wheel. This is the hub. This is where everything gets connected. If you've ever had a tire change and then you had loose lug nuts and you're going down the road and you know if the lug nuts come off, so is the wheel. And then it's all trouble, right? So this is the most important part of this whole illustration. If we don't have this, if we don't have Jesus at the very core of who we are, what we're about to talk about means absolutely nothing. Because all of the habits and the relationships and the actions that come after this, it's just a matter of time until we build up enough momentum and then the wheels come off. If the hub and the center is not solid, okay? So, Christ is the core of who we are. John 15:5, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I abide in him, they bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. That was true then for the disciples face to face with Jesus, just as true as it is for you and me today as we live by faith. If we try to do anything apart from a living relationship with Jesus, it all falls short. But with this, Jesus comes into our life and changes who we are, and then he starts to give us some relationships and some habits that help us really tap into who he is and to live that out every day. So we go to the next one. These are the spokes of the wheel. You might think of a wagon wheel. I know my car doesn't really have spokes. It has more of a nice chrome, titanium, aluminum, I don't know, finish. I'm not a car guy. Anyway, the point is, here's some things that God gives us in his goodness that help us tap into who he is. So Jesus isn't just this spiritual, ambiguous person. It really has hands and feet. He has hands and feet in our lives. So there's four spokes in this illustration. The first one is the word of God. It's the bottom spoke. It roots us in who he is. If you have a Bible with you, would you just hold it up? And if you have a phone, would you hold it up? Yeah. Good job, Jordan. I just want to remind each of us, you can put it down. We live in a really precious, privileged day and time, in a good way. You have the words of God given to his people throughout history to read whenever you want, whether it's in a printed form or on your phone in a digital form. You can read it. You can listen to it. There's apps where you can just listen to the Bible. You can choose whatever translation. You can listen to it in 136 different languages if you want to. But the point is, God has given it to each of us as a gift. And he wants us to know him. Because when we read and when we think and when we meditate on this, we're looking at how God has interacted with people in real time, in real places. And it reminds us of who he is, and his character, and his nature, and his goodness. That's one of the primary ways we grow in our relationship with the Lord, is simply by reading the history of what he's done. And if we're to be followers of Jesus, we need to know the Word, because Jesus knew the Word in his day and in his time. I think about Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. At this point, Jesus, he's been baptized by John the Baptist, and it says, the Spirit of God compelled him to go into the wilderness, where he was tested by the devil after 40 days of fasting. And every time the devil asks him, well, if you're really the Messiah, how about you do this? Or how about that? Jesus' response is a quotation from what we would call the Old Testament, what Jesus would call the Bible. He knew God's word. It was on his heart and in his mind so readily that when he was tested, it rolled right off his tongue. That was his response. So if we're to be followers of Jesus, we need to be that same kind of people, to where his word is so available that it can come right out of our lips whenever God prompts us. But if we've never invested time in reading it and knowing it, it's not going to magically appear. We need to do our part and know it so that God can use it in our lives. So that's the bottom spoke. God's word grounds us in who he is and what he's done. The top spoke is prayer. Again, if we're to be followers of Jesus, we need to do what he did. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it tells, after a long day of ministry, Jesus woke the next morning, early in the morning, before daybreak, and he left his disciples and he went out to a solitary, quiet place where he prayed. He got alone with his Father, where he could pour out his heart to him and where he could hear God's response. And he did this. This was his habit. It wasn't a one-time event. Jesus did this so much that later on the disciples come to him and they say, Jesus, teach us to pray. And I don't think that was just an accident or some aloof question. They were around him so much that they saw him do it all the time. Or I like to imagine sometimes they'd wake up and he's gone. They say, where'd he go? And one of the guys would say, he's probably out on the mountain praying again. It was his habit. He was marked by it. And so for us to be followers of him, we need to be marked by it too. And with this spoke, sometimes we'll say this is the vertical spoke. These are the two main habits that really mark our relationship with God personally. His word and prayer. Another way you could say it, his word and his voice, listening for him to speak. And you can do that alone in the quiet of your own home every day of your life. And then there's other times where we'll come together as a community, as a church, and we'll do it collectively, and we'll pray and we'll read God's word. But these are the main habits of how we relate with God. And then you have the horizontal spoke going left to right. The first one we'll call community. When Jesus showed up in the flesh, being fully God and fully man, he could have just snapped his fingers and saved the world like that. Or as a person being fully God and fully man, he could have come and spent his lifetime ministering to people. If there's anyone that could have done it solo, it's Jesus, right? But yet, in obedience to his Father, he came and he spent the first 30-some-odd years of his life just being part of a family and learning how to grow with his siblings and his mother and his father in a community. And at just the right time, beginning his ministry, when again, he could have done it solo and been a one-man show, but he didn't. Think about Mark 8:27 through 30, or John 13:34 and 35. he calls these guys to himself. Again, it says that he went up to the mountain to pray, and he came down, and he chose 12 to be with him, to see what he did, why he did it, how he did it. And for 3.5 some odd years, he spent all the time with these guys. And there was always more people around following him and seeing what he did. But these individuals, he poured his life into so that they would know the Father just like he knew the Father. And then before he leaves, he gives them the commandment in John 13:34 and 35. He says, I give you a new commandment, that you should love each other the way I have loved you. And if you do this, when you do this, people will know you are my disciples. So Jesus lived and ministered in a community of faith. And we should do that too. So when people come into these doors, when they see the way you and I interact with one another, there should be a noticeable dynamic difference in the way we relate and care for one another than if they were to go out into town to anywhere else. It should be marked by the love of Jesus. And then the last spoke is this, witness. If you've seen this illustration before, sometimes people use the word evangelism. I like witness. I feel like it's more all-encompassing. And I think about what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is after his death, his burial, and resurrection. He tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem, to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And then verse 8, he says, when the Spirit arrives, you will be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the utter ends of the earth. It's a promise from Jesus to his people that when we know him and we walk with him, we can't help but talk about him and share him with the people in our lives. And when we all do this, when we have personal buy-in and then we all do it collectively as the church around the world, it will get to the ends of the earth. And every man and woman, tribe, nation, and tongue will have a chance to hear who he is. So these are the four spokes of the wheel. And then this wheel doesn't just sit. Wheels weren't made to sit. They're made to move, right? So the outside, the rim of this wheel is kind of counterbalanced. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? So it's balanced by two things, trust and obedience. Jesus speaks in a couple of different places about how these things work together. John 14:21, he says, whoever has my commands and does them, that's the person who loves me. And I will be with him, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So when we actually put into practice the things that Jesus calls us to, that's how we get to know him more. It's easy for us to say, oh yeah, I love the Lord, or I love Jesus. But does it show up in our decisions? Does it show up in our actions? We really only love the Lord as much as we trust him. So that comes out in the obedience part. Trust and obedience. They balance this wheel so we don't get out of balance and things start to get bumpy. So these are the four pieces, or not the four pieces. These are all the components to a healthy wheel. If you take any of these out, you get a lopsided wheel. The ride gets really bumpy. If you don't have the hub, the center, the wheels come off eventually. And maybe you've felt that in your life. Maybe you've tried to do these things in your own strength. And you felt the repercussions of that. But all of these things are a gift, not intended for us to merely do them, but to live them out with Christ alive and active in us. So, Tim, would you back up to that very first one where we just have the blank spokes? There we go. Great. Okay, so this is a participation point. This is like a pop quiz to see if you've really been paying attention. So we're just going to walk through this. And then I'm going to give you a chance to just turn to your neighbor and walk your neighbor through this illustration to make sure you've got it down and that you've got this tool in your toolbox. So Let's start with the first one. What's the bottom spoke, the one on the vertical? The word. Great. Okay, so now we've got the word. What's the top spoke?
Prayer.
What's the one on the left? And the one on the right? And then what is the outside rim of the wheel? What are the two words that go with that? Okay. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, so trust and obey. No, so here's the thing. Because Jesus is at the core of who we are, there is life, and there is joy, and there is peace, and all of these things. So I want you to know that. And this was something really simple that Mike shared with me probably my sophomore year of college. And there's times in my life when I feel like, man, is something out of balance, or am I missing something? And this, for me, is just a grid that I can always come back to evaluate and ask the Lord, how am I doing? Lord, am I missing something? How's my time with you been? Have I been in the Word as much as I think I've been in the Word? Have I really prayed and talked to you as much as I think I have? How are my relationships in the community? Are they healthy? Are they God-honoring? Am I serving my church and my neighbor and my family the way I really think I have? And then am I being a faithful witness to Jesus in all of the places that he's put me? So for me, this is not just something to give. This is something first I want to live out, and then I want to give away. I think about Jake Atkinson, a guy I met when I was working college ministry in Oklahoma. Jake was in the military, and then he came back, and he got a degree in agricultural education. So he's an ag teacher. And he lives up by Miami, Oklahoma. Spelled the same as Miami, but in Oklahoma, we say Miami, Oklahoma. And he works Monday through Friday, lots of nights and weekends, with high school kids teaching ag education. And then on the weekends, he and his wife, Crystal, go to church, and they volunteer, and they teach Sunday school. And I talked to him probably 2-3 months ago, and he said, hey, you remember that wheel picture we used to talk about? I said, yeah. Because in my head, we did it thousands and thousands of times, but he said, yeah, you remember that picture? I went over that with the little boys in Sunday school class this weekend. I said, I'm so glad to hear that, Jake. You make them write it with crayons as many times as you can. And you don't know what the Lord's going to do with that. So here's what I'd like for you to do in just the few minutes that we have left. If you have a piece of paper and you want to draw it, do that. If you don't, just verbally walk your neighbor through this. Just the different spokes one more time, just so that hopefully this maybe sticks and is a benefit to you in your life. So I'm going to give you all of 3 minutes to turn to your neighbor. If it's a neighbor you don't know, introduce yourself. That's polite. And then decide who's going to lead the illustration. And the other person talks and listens. Okay? So 3 minutes. Ready? Go. Okay. I'll cut you short. I know that wasn't a full 3 minutes, but hopefully you get the idea. Hopefully it was enough to maybe get the juices flowing, to just think about it and remember it. And if you... okay, I won't do that. Okay, running out of time. If you've been walking with Jesus for any amount of time and you're starting to put these things into practice, my challenge and my prayer for you would be to think about who is one person you could share this with. Okay? Because all these pieces, we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking about what does it mean to really, how do I study the Word? These are just starting places. This illustration, this is not a presentation and you're done. This is the beginning. The Word of God, what is it? Where does it come from? What do I do about it? How do I study it? I've never read the whole Bible. Where do I even begin? You could spend weeks learning or learning with someone how to get in God's Word. You could spend hours and hours and hours with other people praying and listening for God's voice. So my challenge to you would be to take to heart Jesus' last instruction to his disciples in Matthew 28:18-20, where he says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Therefore, you, disciples, and then by virtue of them and the people they've, us, each of us. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things I've commanded you. And surely, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. What a tremendous promise. What a great privilege, and what a humongous task that God has given each of us personally and as a community of faith in who he is. So I hope that this picture would help you personally, but more than that, I hope that it's something that you can use in helping other people know and love and follow Jesus with all of their heart for all of their life. Okay? So let me pray and we'll be dismissed for this morning. Father God, thank you so much for when each and every one of us were far from you, that you made a way for us to draw near. Before we ever realized our need for you, you were preparing your son to come, to live, and to lay down his life so that we might know you without any obstacles, without any barriers or separation. And now, through his resurrection and your spirit, we're so grateful that you fill us and that you have called us to represent you in all of the places that you have planted us. So God, I pray that this morning and that all the days ahead, that you would continue to do that, that you'd fill us by your spirit, that you would work through our words and our actions, that they would be honoring to you, and as a result of your presence in our life, that many other people would join us in knowing you and praising you for all of our days. So thank you for our time together this morning. We love you. And again, we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week.